I wonder, dear brethren, if we can get some help just to enter into the thrust of the chapter. That image, what was in that image that was so wrong in it? For all of us, young and old, once again to be reminded, what's the scripture teaches us about idols? The second part of it, perhaps for a couple of quick thoughts, why was it so important to serve and worship that image? What is the world is trying to mold us into serving and worshiping the image that this man has presented? And then as we were exhorted to go into the one who is the one that is able to deliver and to give the confidence that is needed. So I wonder perhaps for the next 5-10 minutes or so to take up that image. Although you would say to yourself, he heard from Daniel, the revealer of secrets. And he said, blessed be the God of Daniel. And all of a sudden, the next chapter we are reading that he is building this huge image of gold. And that this idol that these three men refused to serve and to worship. So if we can touch on these features a little bit, so that we can move on as we are exhorted into the thrust of it from verses 14 on, to see what kind of confidence faith gives to the believer to stand against the king.
You know, what an amazing thing is that today in this world...
A little louder, if you don't mind. We were exhorted before by some to speak loud. Some are not hearing, so please.
One of the things that is happening in this world today, we realize, both young and old, that music and a whole take control. We find that even the churches, that there are those who are playing music to worship God. But you know, it's amazing that I believe that, you know, like we have in 1 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's 10 or 11, where it tells us, chapter 11 and verse 7. It's a very important verse, or verse, but anyhow, it tells us that there is no temptation that is given to man, but God is able to make a way of escape. And so we realize that temptation is going to be there. We find that these Hebrew boys were going to bow down to the music and so on and so forth, and there was temptation. But we do know and realize that God is able to make a way of escape. And so each and every one of us, even as believers, realize that there's going to be temptation. There are things that are going to affect us as we go along the Christian life, because we live in this wilderness scene. But we do know that the Lord is able to make a way of escape.
That's chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13 and 14. And it ends with, wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. So it's very much connected.
And it's helpful in this chapter to notice that it appears that the plan to fall down and worship was not part of the initial invitation. Because we might say, well, if the invitation was everybody come and worship this idol, worship this image, we might have said, well, they should have just stayed home to begin with. But we can see in verse 2 and verse 3 that I would suggest the proposed reason was a dedication. That's the word that's used, right? There was going to be a dedication of this image. We have statues of historical figures and so on in various places. They're not inherently sinful. We don't bow down to, you know, statues of George Washington and so on. So if this was just a dedication, perhaps we might say that's why they went along with the crowd. But in verses 4 and 5 and onward, it became evident that this was more than just a government function or something, some sort of memorial. We would suggest that it probably was an image of Nebuchadnezzar himself, perhaps, which might have raised some questions. It seems that way because in chapter 2, Daniel had described him as the head of gold, but then he makes a whole statue of gold. Maybe it was even an image of himself. But when they found that this was going to transition from simply a civic event to something that had spiritual implications, they knew what their response would be. And I would suggest that it shows even more their readiness to follow the Lord. They didn't have to say, wait a second, this isn't what we thought this was. We've got to go have a little discussion together. What are we going to do? No, as soon as they heard what the real purpose was, they knew what their response was. We don't even have the impression that maybe they had a chance even to talk together. They just all made the same decision when they realized what the situation was. They did not bow down, and it had to be reported to the king that they did not bow down. In this chapter, their Babylonian names are given. In chapter 2, when Daniel is praying with them, their Hebrew names are given. I would suggest that this matter of their names, they also used their Hebrew names, but when this story is told and recorded for us by the Spirit of God, their Babylonian names are given to show that even though the Babylonians intended to change who they were, they themselves had not changed who they were. God was going to use those whom the Babylonians thought, well, we got them. We're controlling them. No. You might have an external use for these men of God, but they still belong to God. They do not belong to you.
I think if we just look at the global picture first, before we get into the personal picture of what we see, that might help us to understand a Babylonian way in the matter of conformity. We want everybody to be confirmed. I think chapter two told us that Daniel, that the king had a dream. And he realized that his length of power is limited. Daniel explained to him that that length of power is limited. So now, in his own mind, he devised a way to say, he is going to make a statue, not just one part of gold and the rest of it, the different metal. He's going to make his own statue that is all gold. And he will have everybody confirm to that image. That's exactly what Romans chapter 12 is telling us. This is what the world is doing today, is having everyone marching to the same beat of the same drum. But these men are, as we have heard, weren't young men anymore. And there is a danger in the middle age. You're smart enough now. Have enough experience. You know how to play the game. You go in the office in the morning, on Monday morning, and you get a notice. On Thursday, everybody who is an authority somehow, because the king knows exactly what he's doing. He wanted to get every branch of the government, the judges, the legislator, the people who are in charge of any aspect of the government, to come and confirm. So he will have complete dominion and there will be no defect. The agony that these men have suffered, it's interesting in the book of Daniel, if you only read the first 6 chapters, you find always deliverance. And you would think, well, this is the way life should be. But if you read the second part of that book, there was no deliverance. Just to keep that in mind, because we don't want to take half of the truth. But what we have here is men who suffered before they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They suffered there. Imagine the agony now if you are was giving that decree to go home and to tell your wife and your kids, I'm not going to bow. Well, what's going to happen to us? I'm not going to bow. I think we're living in a very comfortable life. The image that's still seen in Libya a couple of years ago, they arrested few Christians and they lined them up and they asked them to denounce the faith. And these men would not do that. You might say, well, it's easy for me to stand that firm. A couple of years later, they stop a bus in a little village back in Egypt. Men and women are there. They took them out. And they said, we're going to kill your children first. We'll kill your wives before your eyes unless you denounce a faith. And these men, they said, God is able to deliver us. And if not, we're not denouncing the faith. Let's challenge our heart a little bit. We're very comfortable. We are very, very comfortable. And we are ashamed of the gospel. These men were not, and they suffered for it emotionally before they went into the fiery furnace. But they stood that firm. Imagine, again, here's a global picture. The world would like us to be confirmed. I don't want to touch on the music. Somebody else will touch on that. But the whole idea is this. We're all going to bow and listen. And now, the music is in the palm of your hand. The inability to get into your mind through the back door of your head, through the music, which have lyric in it that many people do not even listen to the word itself. Just the music, the beat of the music. And you will be confirmed. You'll just march like everybody else is marching. And here in the plain of Dura, these men stood up. You could say very easily, I think Doug was mentioning, couldn't you just say like, nobody's going to notice you? There are thousands of people there. Who's going to watch you? You could just bow, in your own heart. Who is the true God? It's just not a big deal. We're not going to bow. May the Lord give us grace to have backbone like these men. Amen.